Hey everyone, this is Matt with Azimuth Check, and today I wanted to talk about the caravan and illegal immigration invasion that is coming. I think it's a pretty legit statement to say invasion. I was looking at pictures the other day from this caravan, and this insane force that is trudging their way up north through Mexico right now, and when you have people that are waving flags of different countries and saying that they are going to come into your country no matter what, that's a hostile invasion. 20 years in the military has taught me that one. There's no way around it. When people are invading you and they don't care. And it's funny because, you know, we've been watching this for a while. And I remember watching. Second, other countries down for allowing this to happen, for allowing illegal immigrants just to trudge on up, especially when you look at the laws for asylum seekers. They're supposed to stop at the first country they come to outside their country to apply for asylum. They don't want to do that. Why? Because they want to come up to America where we give them everything. So they just went into Mexico and blew through their actual, through all their barriers violently. And when you're talking about, you know, anywhere from 7,000 to 10,000 people, you're not going to be able to stop that. There's just no way. That's not realistic. And so they're coming. And the question is, what do we do about it? And so that's the concern that we should all have. And, you know, I've heard a lot of real insincere and weak-minded excuses on why illegal immigration is okay. And it kind of makes me sick. And I'm to be honest, I'm kind of disgusted by it. It's weak. You know, one of the worst ones that I hear is how we're trying to help people. You know, we need to help. That's the poor people out there. We need to help. Tenth of a population. So what we say, hey, congratulations to you few people that we've allowed in. Now we're just going to let all the rest of you suffer and die over there. How is that helping? On their soapboxes and get a big back scratcher and use it to pat themselves on the back and say, look at how good of a person I am. I've done nothing at all that takes any effort at all in any way, and I've done things to help people by doing nothing except adding to our national debt, which is okay because I don't pay it anyway. So take it from the rich people, but not me, and then just let more immigrants in because it's all free. Everything's free. We're good. And so, you know, in order to do anything of real change, any sort of real change, takes actual effort and takes serious commitment. And so the problem is we don't see that. And especially on the left, you know, they talk about we need to have immigration reform. Well, their version of immigration reform is just let everybody in. And I'm really disgusted too. And we need to discuss this briefly. You know, there is a huge difference, enormous divide between what is immigrants, what are illegal immigrants. And the left loves to try to gray that area over. And even some on the right, you know, we get so afraid of optics because we live in the world of, you know, the 10-second news headline, where if you read it in a news headline, that's all you see, and that becomes the truth. So we're so afraid on the right of how things look that we tend to shy away from those controversies. And again, I think that's a real shame because morally, we're right here. You know, morally, we can argue where other people can't on what exactly we're doing. And what I mean is, you know, when you just open your borders and let these people through, you're hurting the country. You're increasing the strain on our systems. And so you put a huge tax burden upon everybody because that money has to come from somewhere. And we don't really have enough knowledgeable people in this country that think about those type of things. And it becomes so much easier to say, you know what? I feel bad for people. And because I feel bad for people, we just need to do this. And so that's where the left really, they keep hitting us, and we shy away because, again, we're afraid of the optics. But let's look at this. Let's look at this caravan right here in a little more detail. You've got gangs that are coming up with these guys. And look at all the illegal immigrants we have that are already killing our citizens. And don't get me wrong, we have a lot of citizens that are killing our citizens. But it's worse when we have allowed someone to be here that shouldn't be here, and they then commit the crimes. That's a crime that never should have happened, because our government had the duty to protect us in the first place from those individuals, and they failed. And so the government allowed that, and that's the problem. Those people should have never been in. Another one that really bothers me is the child smuggling. And that one irritates me, because you've got kids coming up through this country, through Mexico, and they're being used and sexually by these perverts. And so they bring them up and they're like, hey, let's start selling kids. It's a great, and we're talking, I'm not even talking about the adults that are used in these prostitution rings. I'm talking about just the kids. You know, we have a duty to protect them. And again, you get the liberals out there that say, you know, we're pulling kids away from their families. Well, no, we're protecting the kids, because we don't know who the heck these people are. We don't know their families, and in a lot of cases, they aren't families. So allowing these groups just to come through, it hurts us financially. It hurts us criminally. It hurts us as far as what we're doing to children, and even, like I said, even the adults. And let's talk about the cost really quick. The Center for Immigration Studies. Now, the stats here are old. They're the latest ones I could find that gave me some decent stats. But even with them being, you know, over two decades old, it's absolutely mind blowing. Here's what they say. Center for Immigration Studies. California estimated state and local governments spent $2.95 billion with a B in fiscal year 1993 on illegal aliens and their U.S. citizen children for Medicaid, corrections, primary and secondary education, and AFDC. Spending of state and local funds on four programs for refugees and their children reached $885 million. All right. So the amount that we're putting out is just, you can't even comprehend that. And that was, again, over 20 years ago. Imagine what it's like now. Whenever you have someone coming in, you're adding to the cost. And here are the things that people don't want to think about. You know, these people are going to need medical care. Well, they can't afford it. I mean, we as citizens can barely afford it. So what do? We can't turn them away. So we're putting people into the system that aren't paying for their medical care, but we can't deny them medical care. So they have to treat them. Well, that cost gets eaten by someone. It gets eaten by the consumer. The same thing goes when you're talking about the schools. You know, these children come in and the school system say, well, hey, we're going to teach them. Well, where does that money come from? They are not putting in a big tax base. So they're not paying for these kids. And a lot of these, a lot of illegal immigrants get paid underneath the table, meaning there is no tax base, especially if the people are doing it right, which means, you know, they're supposed to be checking them through the system to make sure, hey, is this person actually legally allowed to work? So we put this massive tax burden on our system, and that money comes from us, the taxpayers. And so we just continue to add to this out of control debt. And this is one of the big problems. And again, people don't want to talk about that. You know, that becomes the, oh, you're being mean to them. Well, no, it has nothing to do with being mean. It has to do with us being able to pay for our country. You know, we, for whatever reason, at some point in our nation, we decided to really look at people that were successful and decide that's not fair and that's not right. Somewhere along the way, we lost the belief of hard work. And when we lost that belief, it became that if you're rich, if you've got money, that you're evil. You took it from someone else. You didn't work to get it. You know, Bill Gates didn't start in his garage with him and his partner and slowly grow this company to the monolith that it is. No. Bill Gates killed women and children in order to get there. That's what people would have you believe. When actually, Microsoft has created millions of millionaires. Oh, that's probably a little bit of a ridiculous overstatement. But I can't even remember. I saw the video once of how many millionaires they've actually created. It's nuts because of all the investment that happens. People have money, work hard for it. And then what happens is these groups come in and they take it because they say, well, if you don't want to help, you're just being mean-spirited. You're not thinking of these people. You're not thinking of the kids. Well, no one was thinking of the kids when they decided to make them do this trek. So we now have this group coming. So the question becomes, what do we do about it? Well, the president decided that he is going to send the military down there. So Fox News broke just recently that the Pentagon has sent Jersey barriers in conjunction with plans to deploy active duty troops to the border. And full details on the numbers of troops to be deployed as well as their roles should be announced Sunday night. That was told to reporters. Kristen Nielsen, who is Homeland Security Secretary, said that the caravan is not getting in. In fact, she said there's a legal way to enter this country. Those who choose to enter illegally will be stopped. We are working with our partners in Mexico. They have taken unprecedented efforts with their territory to ensure an orderly flow and that those who have no legal right to be there are removed. We intend to do the same. She further said, my general message to caravan is this, do not come. You will not be allowed in. There's a right way to immigrate to the United States, and this is not it. So how do you stop them though? That's really the question. And again, it comes down to that optics thing because at the end of the day, here's the truth of the matter. When you've got 7,000 plus people, so somewhere between 7,000 and 10,000 people, let's say, that are coming at you, and you've got no physical barrier to stop them, what do you do? How far are you willing to push? Because at the end of the day, the only way we're going to solve this problem is by causing pain to others. And that's a horrible thing to say. I am not saying that we go out there and beat women and children, but when you've got 7,000 in a group, what do you do to stop them? If you don't have a wall, you're talking about people physically there. Our people are going to get hurt and killed if they try to stand in the way of that group. There's no other way around it. So what are we willing to do? And that's a question that we really should be asking our government. If we're going to put our troops there, what are they going to be allowed to do? Are they armed? Are we going to shoot at unarmed women and children? Are we talking about non-lethal force? Are we going to pepper spray unarmed women and children? You know, I understand that there's a lot of gang members in this. I understand that there are a lot of people that should be in jail. I mean, just period, end of story, you know, or should be executed even. I'm all about that for a lot of these gang members. Don't even waste the time. They have no respect for human life. Why should they get it reciprocated to them? But that's not what the optics are going to be. So when you have these people that hit that break, what do you do? How do you stop them? And I haven't heard a good answer for that. You know, deploy the military. What's the military going to do? Again, 7,000 people. Soldiers are going to get hurt. Civilians are going to get hurt. This is not a good solution. Eventually, they're going to pull the bluff. They're going to call the bluff. They're going to say, hey, we're coming anyway. Even though they may have stopped temporarily, which they did. They stopped temporarily in Mexico. But they're going to realize, you know, what's really worse? A couple dead kids or getting into America? And at the end of the day, groups like this don't care about children. If they cared about children, they wouldn't be bringing them up. They wouldn't be making them make that trek. You know, this is where I go back to what I said before. We cannot fix a country's problem by allowing people to blindly come into ours. That doesn't fix or solve any solutions. You know, all you're doing is you're hurting us, the American people. And so what we need to do is we need to find ways to engage their governments to help these people work towards making it better. And the hard part is, the reality is, these people, you know, I heard someone quoted when they were coming up, one of the soon to be hopefully illegal immigrants here, or illegal aliens, I heard one of them say, you know, we're fighters and we'll fight to get in. Well, then go back and fight for your country. We did it. We had to fight for our country. Why should you be any different? What makes you so special that you think you can come and fight to get into our country when you don't even have the guts to fight for yours? You know, we don't need that sort of cowardice here. Go back home and take up arms against your, if it's that bad, take up arms against your country. Don't come and bring ours down. Raise yours up. And that's really the message we should be giving these people. You know, we should be helping them. I'm a big believer in that. Help them to make their countries better. But don't just let a few in. Because again, even the ones that we let, even if we're talking about refugees and we let all these refugees in, again, that doesn't account for the millions of other people that are still there suffering. We haven't done anything. We haven't changed that populace at all. You know, you're talking about a minuscule fraction of people that we're letting into our country. How does that help them? And so we're getting overrun with people, but their countries, they're not really losing a lot, because you're talking about the totality of the world that we take in refugees from. So I looked, and because I wanted to see, you know, what are the solutions that I'm seeing out there? And I look at the Dems, and you know, the Democrats, they just want to destroy capitalism, and I do believe that. There is, I said this before in my first podcast, you know, one of my teachers once told me a great quote, and that is socialism is never for the socialist, meaning that those in charge, those who are actually pushing the socialist idealisms, they don't want socialism. Because socialism sucks. You know, you have to wait in line. You can work as hard as you want, but you never make it any further because everyone's equal. Everyone gets this equal share. So nothing ever gets done. You never get ahead. And so the socialists themselves, they don't want that. So the people in power, well, they're special. They need to get, you know, they need to be taken care of. And anyone that doesn't understand this concept should read Animal Farm. It is one of the greatest books ever that was written about Russia during the revolutionary phase. And it's just an incredible book that talks about how socialism really does destroy people. And it becomes, if it wasn't before, it becomes all about power. So the Democrats, this is what they say on their website. Democrats are fighting for every immigrant who feels threatened by Donald Trump's election. We will not stand by and watch families be torn apart. Democrats in Congress and in states and cities across the country are already standing up to Trump's hatred and bigotry to defend their immigrant neighbors. Well, this goes back to what I said before. You know, Democrats love to play this game of mixing illegal with legal immigration. So it forms this kind of gray muck that no one could figure out where, you know, where it begins, where it ends. What are we talking about? That's what they love to do. They love to conflate the issue so that way you can't figure it out. And so that's what they do with that statement right there. Because first of all, the Democrats have been in power. They were in power for quite some time. And even right now, the Democrats may not own the House or the Senate, but they have almost half of the House. They could easily come up and say, hey, listen, you know, let's strike a deal here. Trump even tried to strike a deal with them, giving them a better cut on the total number of Dreamers that he would allow. But the Democrats didn't want to do it. Why? Because it's not about actually helping people. You know, it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is power. And the more they can make something an issue, and the more they can take something and turn it into a weapon against anyone on the right, the more they'll do it. If this was really about helping people, they would have come out and said, yeah, we need to figure out a solution to this. But they don't want to do that. That would hurt them. So let's go on. Thanks to President Obama, hundreds of thousands of Dreamers have been able to receive a temporary status that allows them to study, work, pay taxes, and contribute to the communities they grew up in. His administration has made a tremendous difference by prioritizing immigration enforcement so that it is focused on those with criminal records and doesn't arbitrarily separate families, and Democrats are fighting to protect that progress. Well, the problem is with that's a complete lie. That goes completely against what they're doing. You know, how many of these illegals that have killed our citizens should have been reported to ICE? And isn't that what they said? You know, his administration has made a tremendous difference by prioritizing immigration enforcement so it is focused on those with criminal records. It says it right there. But that's not, they don't go after those people. They don't go after anybody. They refuse. They would rather protect their voting they would rather protect their ability to get voted into office than their voters. And so it doesn't matter how many people are killed, as long as they can stay in power, as long as they can continue to make this a talking point. Then it says Democrats will continue to work towards comprehensive immigration reform that fixes our nation's broken immigration system, improves border security, prioritizes enforcement so we're targeting criminals, not families, keeps families together, and strengthens our economy. Well, okay, so I'm confused. So everything about that says that, you know, we're going to try to reform the system, but we're going to keep families together even when they cross illegally. And we're not going to target, we're going to target criminals, but not illegal aliens, because they're not criminals. They just, you know, the illegal part is just its wording, mean anything, obviously. So, you know, they're going to, it doesn't matter. As long as they can, and again, where is this immigration reform? Well, you know, what are they doing to actually fix anything? And this is my favorite part, you know, improves border security. They want to let everyone in. How does that in any way protect our border? Like, I don't even get it. I would love for someone to explain to me how the Democrats, you know, how their vision does anything for border security or to protect our country at all. Like anything at all. And again, I don't understand this whole taking families away. This is the one that blew me away from the very beginning. When I commit a crime, I'm taken to jail. If I've got my kids in the car and I commit a crime, my kids are taken away from me because they can't go to adult jail. If I'm crossing the border illegally, I have committed an illegal act. Therefore, my children should get taken away from me. This concept, it's, I don't understand. Again, this is that optic piece that we're so afraid of, the optics on it. You want to take away children from their parents. No, I want their parents to go back to their country with their children. That's what I want. I'm just trying to figure out a way to make it all work. You know, what's your solution? Just let them come in and then disappear into the system or into the country, and so we never can find them again? No, that doesn't make any sense. No, send them back. That's what I want. I want them to not be allowed to come in. You know, don't try to take it and twist it that I'm trying to harm children. I don't think the children should have made the trip in the first place. I think that's the worst harm for them. I think these people should stand up and go into their own country and say, hey, you need to figure this out. So again, and then the last part is this, the last paragraph. Democrats know the importance of our country's history as a nation of immigrants. We honor our fundamental values by treating all people who came to the United States with dignity and respect. We always seek to embrace, not attack, immigrants. Well, again, this is the problem. But when you really look at what they're saying here, you might as well put illegal. We always seek to embrace, not attack, illegal immigrants, because they're talking about all immigrants. In no way do they separate them. So this whole document is full of doublespeak. We want to protect our borders, but we welcome all immigrants. Well, okay, that means that you can't protect the borders if you're, you know, embracing illegals, because you can't do both. And that's the message they're sending to this caravan. Hey, you know, guys, we're all about you coming in. Come on in. We are going to embrace you. And when you come here, we're going to give you free medical care. And we're going to give you free this and free that. And again, they don't care because they're not really paying for it. To them, it's all, you know, that socialism piece. more people we can add, the more we can bring the system down, the more that we can take from the populace to feed ourselves at that level of government. So, you know, the worst part is, though, trying to figure out the GOP, their view on immigration. You know, they talk about a wall, but they're in charge. And I'm a big believer in this one. If there's anything that I took from the military, this was it. When in charge, take charge. That's it. If you are in charge, you are in charge. There is no other argument for that. I wrote a piece for Ops Lens where I talked about this, and I talked specifically about the government taking responsibility, and the House Majority Leader, you know, actually taking responsibility for their inability to get things passed. And so I don't want to hear about how, well, we've only got a majority of two. Well, that's still a majority. Get your act together, get together with those people, or with our people. And you know what? Let's actually make some change. And if they're not, let's do something about it. Let's fight against them. How about this? How about have the Republican Party stand up and start campaigning against some of these quote unquote Republicans who aren't voting again, you know, with us for this stuff. This is why you're in office. And I understand it's tough. I'm not saying that, but you can't make excuses, Mitch McConnell. You're in charge. The buck stops with you. You know, people can whine and cry and throw a fit about Trump all they want. But the one thing you can say about him is he gets stuff done. He looks at his report card as a checklist of accomplishments. That's it. And I personally can respect that. Another militarism that I love, and it's not quite used in this way, but is, you know, deeds, not words. Now, typically the way that's meant is don't talk about doing something, go do it. I don't want to hear you talk about it. I want to see the results. With Trump, it's a little bit different because Trump does talk about it. Trump needs to shut his mouth. He does. I support about 95% of what he does and probably about 40% of what he says. You know, the guy needs to stop. Someone needs to take his Twitter thumbs away from him. But at the same time, he's not getting a value. He's not evaluating himself, at least, on what he says. He doesn't care if he offends people, because at the end of the day, all he cares about is that report card. These are the promises he made the American people. Is he going to accomplish them or not? That's all he cares about. And so in his mind, that's what he is doing. You know, our leaders in the government, especially those on the right, could really actually, hell, both sides could really take a lesson from that. You know, get stuff done and then take responsibility for what you do. If you do it, acknowledge you did it. You know, even Trump said when they were actually having these DACA talks, Trump said, you know, hey, if you vote for this, I'll take the heat. And he would, because he just doesn't care. But he'll take responsibility. And I believe that about him. He will take responsibility. Now, there is one interesting solution, and I do feel this is interesting, and that's the Libertarian Party. And this is a little bit lengthy, but I want to read what their stance is from the website. All right. And so libertarians, I believe it's libertarian.com or something along those lines. Let me see here. Where is it? Get it up online. Here it is. lp.org/issues/immigration. All right. Libertarian Party. All right. Now, just so everyone's aware, what libertarians are, is libertarians are very constitutionalist thinking individuals, where they believe of freedom to the nth degree. So if you are not directly impacting me, then you should be allowed to do whatever you want. And so in a libertarian's mind, a true libertarian's mind, drugs are completely fine. You should be able to do any drugs you want, because their view is you're responsible for your body. So if you are on drugs, okay, if you're addicted to opioids and you decide to go and get high and you crash and you don't have insurance, when the ambulance shows up and they scan your ID card, your fingerprint, your iris, blood test, whatever it is, DNA check, I don't care. fecal matter, whatever they do to check who you are, and they figure out this is who you are. Their view is, if you don't have insurance to cover the Narcan, you don't get it, you die. Now, they won't say it like that because, again, we're always worried about the optics. But that's the truth of the matter. You're responsible. Why should anyone else have to pay for your bad habits? The same thing with smokers. Why should people have to pay for your cancer? You did this to yourself. It's not as if you didn't know. You know, same thing if you get fat. Hey, I got a belly on me, but I shouldn't have to make someone else pay for my medications. It's just that's not the way it works. You're responsible. I'm responsible. If I want to go out and eat 15 Big Macs, then I need to take responsibility for that. And it's just, you know, everyone these days, everyone's got an issue. Oh, my thyroid, my Abdullah Blangada, my epidermis. It doesn't matter. Everyone's got a problem. My legs hurt. I can't walk. Why do your legs hurt? Because I'm 500 pounds. Well, so stop eating so much. No, you can't judge me. Body positivity, you bastard. So, you know, everyone's got an excuse for everything, right? And so the libertarians, their view is, hey, you're responsible. It's your problem. So their title of this is, libertarians believe that if someone is peaceful, they should be welcome to immigrate to the United States. And this is what it says, libertarians believe that people should be able to travel freely as long as they are peaceful. We welcome immigrants who come to seek a better life. The vast majority of immigrants are very peaceful and very productive. Indeed, the United States is a country of immigrants of all backgrounds and walks of life. Some families have just been here for more generations than others. Newcomers bring great vitality to our society. A truly free market requires the free movement of people, not just products and ideas. And in this right there, I have a real hard time arguing with that belief. There is a truth in that. You know, we should do something about the free movement of people, you know, because it is all about every, you know, the market is a conglomerate of everything, ideas, products, and people. You can't separate them. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And we'll keep reading. Whether they're from India or Mexico, whether they have advanced degrees or very little education, immigrants have one great thing in common. They bravely left their familiar surroundings in search of a better life. Many are fleeing extreme poverty, and violence, and are searching for a free and safe place to try to build their lives. We respect and admire their courage and are proud that they see the United States as a place of freedom, stability, and prosperity. Now, I have a slight issue with that. As I already said, if you're going to talk about bravery, then fix your own country. You know, I have an issue with that. I'm willing to fight and fix my country. And when I say that, I don't mean taking up arms against the government of the United States, even though the Second Amendment stands for that very reason. That's not what I'm saying. All right. But what I am saying is be active, you know, do things, get your voice heard, be out there, not be afraid to say, this is, you know, you're wrong about this. And this is why I believe it, in a respectful way. You know, I'm not talking about beating up politicians or anything like that either. I mean, I'm not going to go to the left, but just be willing to say your piece and be willing to fight and say, no, this is what I believe and this is why. So I disagree with that part. To me, that's a little cowardly. You know, you're running away. There's nothing brave about that. You're running cowardly away. So, but you know, okay, fine. Of course, if someone has a record of violence, credible plans for violence, or acts violently, then libertarians support blocking their entry, deporting and or prosecuting and imprisoning them, depending on the offense. Libertarians do not support classifying undocumented immigrants as criminals. Our current immigration system is an embarrassment. People who would like to follow the legal procedures are unable to because these procedures are so complex and expensive and lengthy. If America wants immigrants to enter through legal channels, we need to make those channels fair, reasonable, and accessible. Now, again, you have to look at the totality of the libertarians' plan. It would work. It would completely work, and this is why. Libertarians believe in the most minimal form of government possible. They believe in the constitutional approach, which is the freedom to suffer consequences. That's really what freedom means in the Constitution. So when we talk about freedom, the only thing, and the same thing, when we talk about all people are born equal, our founding fathers were not stupid, okay? It's not as if, you know, physical deformities and mental illnesses did not exist back in their days. They knew that not everybody was born with the same intellect, with the same physical prowess, with the same, you know, family lineage. They knew that. That's not what they're talking about. When they talk about being born equal, they're talking about one thing and one thing only, and that is the freedom to make your own decisions. Therefore, live by your own choices. That's a big distinction between the right and the left. You know, the left wants to come up with safety nets. Well, the problem with safety nets is you cannot do that without infringing upon liberties. If you want to help one group, you've got to take away from another group to do it. That's the way it works. That's the way safety nets are designed. So in the libertarian mindset, there is no safety net. You are free to do what you want, and therefore you suffer the consequences when you fail. Now, truth be told, most people who are extremely arduous in their desire to succeed, they will fail all the time, but they are willing to get back up, try again, and they typically do succeed. It's rare that these type of individuals don't. So when people fail and they fall apart, that they tend to just crumble and not make it any further. So libertarians, their entire view of this is let anyone into the country that wants to come, as long as they're not violent. You know, libertarians aren't saying let terrorists in or anything like that. They're not doing that. They're not crazy. But what they're saying is let everyone in. And then what happens is let them compete for jobs fairly and justly, just like everyone else has to compete for jobs. So those people who come in that are doctors, let them compete at hospitals for good paying hospital type jobs. Those people that are lawyers come in, take the bar. If they can pass the bar, let them compete as lawyers. Those people that have no skills, let them compete at McDonald's. And so you're still flooding the system, but those people that are better will rise to the top, and those people that aren't will fall to the bottom. And because they fall to the bottom and we don't believe in safety nets, you're kind of on your own. And so again, the way this works is it's still like we talked about before. There has to be pain involved. You know, no system is going to work without pain. And so the pain is that if you can't survive, then you better go someplace else because you're not going to get a free handout. Now, I don't exactly believe in the system. And the reason for that is because I'll use drugs as the best example. Okay. Libertarian viewpoint is if you want to do drugs, do drugs. All drugs should be legal. It gets rid of a lot of crime. And at that point, I would totally agree with them. If we legalize drugs, then it would be very hard for us to really complain about the crime of selling drugs, of drug distribution. But here is my problem. You know, I agree that most people that smoke pot, they're not going to go break it into a house to steal money in order to buy more pot. But you can't say the same with a lot of these other drugs, all right? Especially opioids, heroin. People get addicted to these drugs and they have a physical and psychological need that they have to fill. There's no way around this. And so they're going to find a way to get those drugs. And so if we legalize it, my concern is this, you know, you're going to have more people doing drugs. You're going to have more crime because these people are going to want to get more drugs and they're going to do anything to get it. And so the system there's no winning there. But to me, I'd rather not have those people. I'd rather keep the crimes to that crime area as opposed to just letting people willy-nilly do drugs. So I think there's a lot of issues once you open up open it up for anybody just to do whatever they want. Okay. So that's where I disagree with them. And I would say the same thing when it comes to just letting anyone into this country. Again, I agree. This country is based on immigrants. All of us are immigrants. I mean, even Native Americans are immigrants because we're all Africans. At the end of the day, we all came from Africa. You know, that was the cradle of life. You know, so everybody, our gene pool started there. And so everybody in every other part of the world is an immigrant in one way or another. So yeah, everybody, even Native Americans, they immigrated across Alaska when, you know, during the last ice age, when Alaska and Russia got the bridge came up because the waters receded. You know, all the ice was coming in. You had all the glaciers come in, forming the Great Lakes. So all these people caravaned across. They came into America. That's how people got here. You know, there are no natives. So we're all immigrants. I agree with that. And immigrant, there is a lot of history to what immigrants bring. I agree that too. But the problem is that there comes a point where you just got to cut it off. You got to say, okay, we got too many right now. We have a hard time supporting the groups we have. And this is, here's the problem. I agree with Trump on this one too. You know, the president said, we need people that have skills. And we do. Those are the people we want. I can get anybody to go flip a burger. As a matter of fact, you know, it used to be that flipping a burger was something that a kid did. No one, there weren't adults. I mean, unless you're talking like someone who is 70 who needed a little extra income because they didn't plan ahead because of their choices. They didn't have a retirement. They didn't make those choices. So at 70 years old, they're having to go back and flip burgers. Okay, that's fine. But, you know, you shouldn't be 30 years old working at Burger King. That there's a problem if you're a 30-year-old working at Burger King. And so when you allow immigrants just across the border, you're going to get an influx of people that are low-skilled workers. So you're competing against a bunch of other low-skilled workers. And it's hard to climb that ladder when you've now flooded the market. So I have a real problem with that. Now, back to the optics of things, you know, one of the big deals that people say, because I'm a big believer, I think we need to deport people. You know, to me, I think if you're here illegally, we need to make it tough. I think that if you really want to stop illegal immigration, we can't do it. We just need to start enforcing laws, you know, almost draconian. And so here's the thing. Go after employers. Don't go after employers with fines. Go after employers with serious jail time. Serious jail time. Here's a big one. This is one to me that really bothers me. The 14th Amendment to the United States. All right. The 14th Amendment was designed to ensure that slaves would become citizens when they were born here. It was a way to circumnavigate the whole slavery issue, because we're going to say, if you're born in this country, you are an American citizen. That was the purpose behind it. It was not designed as a way for people to sneak across the border and become an American citizen. That's not the purpose in it. That's what it's become, but that's not the purpose in it. And here's the thing. I found a great article on PolitiFact that talks about this. And it's SE Cup. Only about 30 other countries offer birthright citizenship, making the U.S. an anomaly. So here's what I found most interesting about this. In the entire world, out of all the countries in the entire world, there's only 30 that say, if you're born in this country, you're a citizen. Here's what I love, though. You know, the Democrats love to get on their socialist bandwagon and say, oh, we need to be more like Europe. Europe is so great. Look at how horribly their economy is doing. And look at all the problems they have with integrating people and coming up with homogenous groups living together in happiness. But we need to be like Europe. And so they beat this drum, but they're going to ignore one fact. And that is that nowhere in Europe are you a citizen just because you're born there. The only two first world nations that have that rule are Canada. That's it. That's it. You've got, you know, Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and just about every other country in Central South America. But the only two developed countries, as defined by the International Monetary Fund, are us and Canada. And that says something. So most of the, you know, every other country out there that is a first world nation, none of them, except for Canada, you know, which they're kind of like us in a way, so we'll include them. You know, none of them allow people just to be born there. Why? Because it's about protecting their borders. And so they say, no, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't matter if you're born here or not. So am I saying repeal the 14th Amendment? I'm not against it, to be honest with you. I don't think it really has a purpose anymore. I don't know of anyone. Let me put it this way. I don't know of any intelligent person who is not a, you know, a white supremacist moron who would ever say that we, you know, we are in any way going to divide this country by race. 99% of us believe in dividing this country by green money. I am going to pick the best person for a job. If you can do the job, I'm going to select you. You know, we look at the studies, it's all showing the same thing. People want to pick people that are going to make the money. So if you're good at what you do, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, doesn't matter any of that stuff. People want people that can make money. Okay. So I have a hard time with seeing the need anymore for the 14th Amendment. I think it totally had a huge need back in the day. We had to do something. But again, we all know now that race is just pigmentation and genealogy, and it really makes no difference as far as intelligence whatsoever. So why do we care? Why do we need to keep going back to that same tired line? So, but I'm well aware that's never going to happen. We're never going to find any way to do that, and that's fine. We don't need to get rid of the 14th Amendment. But here's what I do say then. If you have a kid that's born in America and you're an illegal immigrant, fine, I got it. Your kid can stay. You're gone. And again, it's the optics of the thing. But at some point, we need to make a decision to stand by our laws. If you're here illegally, you know, when you allow something to happen, it's no longer illegal. It might be on paper, but it doesn't really exist anywhere else. So when you allow illegals to stay with their kids when they're born here, that you've just allowed them to circumnavigate the law. You've just given them that opening to completely circumnavigate it. So again, it's time we cause people pain. So we go after businesses. We go after businesses for hiring people. We go after, you know, owners of apartments and things for renting to illegals. And then we go after families and we say, here's the deal. Your kid can stay, but they're going to become a ward of the state. Then you're going someplace else because you don't belong here. And I will confront anybody on this one. You know, you want to talk about being, you know, kind and thinking about other people. What were those parents thinking? Here we go. If they're really worried about it, take your kid with you. If that's what's important to you, take your kid. Nothing says they can't go. No reason they can't go with you. Take them. If you don't want them to go with you, then leave them here. That's fine. But if these people really cared about their children, if this was really about their kids, then they would change their countries. If they were really concerned about their kids, they would do something about it. And you know, that's kind of where I want to end tonight, is talking about that. At some point, we need to be concerned about our country and our children. And it doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what religion they are. It doesn't matter anything about them other than the fact that they're American. And at some point, we need to say, you know what? We have a lot of men and women that have fought and died for our freedoms. We have had a lot of men and women who have put everything on the line to allow our success. The entrepreneurship in this country is amazing. And it's like that because of our freedoms. We allow people, at least in theory, we used to allow people to keep the rewards, to keep the benefits of their consequences. Because again, consequences aren't bad necessarily. They're a result. A consequence is a result of an action. Or inaction, because not making a choice is a choice. Not doing something is an action. So it's a result of an action or inaction. And it used to be that we allowed people to keep the rewards of that. And so our entrepreneurship in this country is amazing. That's why we come up and develop with so much. So when do we stop and say, hey, we need to protect our country? And the only way to do that is to decide, okay, we've got to put a line in the sand. The line in the sand for this debate is going to be, we're going to have to cause pain. people are going to not be happy. People are going to be, you know, they're going to lose housing. We need to take serious steps. If you're here illegally, you should not be allowed to take your children to school. If you care about their education, don't leave the country. Now, I'm not a total monster. I'm all about this. If you can go into the school and pay for it, I'm all about it. So we, you know, figure out what the cost per pupil is. And that way you're not causing any extra burden, because that's kind of what the Democrats want, right? These people aren't burdens to society. So let's prove it. So if you want to go into a school, if you want to take her to the school, that's fine. Write a check. You know, it's probably going to be about what, $30,000 per kid per year is what it probably runs. If you talk about everything that schools provide, you know, the education, the meals, because, you know, everyone gets a free meal these days. So, you know, education, your meals, the transportation costs, all those different things, that, you know, the teacher's salary, school security, everything. It's probably pretty close. So administration, you know, all those factors. So let them write a check, and that's fine. You have earned the right for your child to be here. I have no problem with that. But if not, no, you don't. Your child doesn't go to our schools. And I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. Go back to your country and fix it. Don't come here and demand of me, because I owe you nothing. I have paid my debt. I have served in the military, and I would do it again to protect and defend my country, my constitution, my family, any family of any American citizen. And I am not saying I wish them ill. That's not what I wish. I don't wish anybody ill. But I want them to go do what they need to do in their country. And so, again, make them pay. Okay? If they want to go into a hospital, make them pay. Now, am I saying allow people to die on the street? No, that would never go over. I'm well aware of this fact. But minus that, they shouldn't be getting free health care. You know, I got it. You're going to have emergency room situations, okay? But they go in and they get deported then. Find them, you get rid of them. Send them back to their country. They don't have good health care, fix it. The only other solution is just open our borders and let everybody in, because we're not really helping anybody, okay? I mean, we are. We're helping like less than a tenth of a percent. That's not really doing anything. We're not making any changes. We're not making tough changes. So we've got to draw that line in the sand. And again, no one wants to do it because the optics are so horrible. Oh, you know, someone's going to show a picture of a kid starving. Well, holy hell, I can show you pictures of a lot of kids starving. There are kids in America starving. We have Americans that are starving. When I was working in West Virginia, when I first retired from the military, I got a job as a JRTC instructor. Best job I ever had. Loved it. Had an impact on kids' lives, and it touched me in a way that I could never imagine. I love those kids. It was awesome. It was awesome being able to do something. And it was in a very poor area of West Virginia. And I had a kid that actually lived in a cave. And I don't mean that sarcastically. He would go, you know, spend time at other kids' houses and stuff and, you know, get, you know, eat over there, take showers, whatever. But he'd also come to school, take showers at the school. And he lived in a cave, essentially. His couldn't live at home. That's how bad the family situation was. And so I can do the same heartbreaking stories here for you know, anybody. My wife, when we were in West Virginia, she worked for a very, very poor district there, a school system there. And the school she worked for was it just ridiculous poverty levels and almost entirely black and just horrible situation. You want to talk about a group, you know, that needs help. These inner cities, I mean, holy cow, you want to spend some time and really try to do something, go to the inner cities. Because these kids, you know, my wife would come home and tell me that she had kids that were coming into school after they'd walked to school and telling her, yeah, we saw a dead homeless guy in the street today. like it was no big deal. So you've got this whole segment of society in our country that lives like this and sees this stuff. If you want to fix something, fix that. Let's find a way to lift up these people that are living in these groups, you know, in these projects. Why are we trying to open ourselves up to all sorts of other issues? We've got more than enough here. Let's not be afraid of the optics anymore. Let's go after and make a stand and say, hey, you know what? We've got Americans here that need help. We've got inner cities that we need to fix. We've got kids starving in on the streets. We've got a lot of things. We don't need, you know, other people coming in to take from us. And then once we make that, let's stand by it. Let's not be afraid of the optics. Let's stand by our laws. So that's where I want to leave us with tonight. You know, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look at someone and say, hey, you know, no, this is wrong. You know, this caravan is wrong. It's evil. You know, I'm not saying the people in it are evil, but the powers behind it, what it's going to do, it's going to hurt our country, and people are going to get hurt trying to do this. And it's time we stop. It's time we stand up and say no more. So that's it for tonight. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to talking to you next week.